Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The topic today is, who's that girl? Let me tell you, I don't know if you know, there's been a recent discovery in Israel. It's like the Qumran caves where they find these Dead Sea Scrolls, and it's amazing stuff. They found some scriptures, and I can't remember exactly what passage it is, but they found some lost scriptures over in Genesis, I think chapter 3, in the conversation between Adam and God before Eve was created. And God said to Adam, you know, the passage where he said, you know, everything's good, but there's one thing that's not good, that you're alone. And God said to Adam, I'm going to make you a partner, a helpmate. But God said, it's going to cost you an arm. And Adam said, gosh, man, you know, I really am lonely, but I don't think so. I'm not giving up an arm. And God said, well, it's going to cost you a leg. And Adam thought and thought. He says, no, God, man, I'm not living without a leg. And he said, it's going to cost you a hand and a foot. And Adam again says, you know, God, I just can't see living without a hand and a foot. He said, what can I get for a rib? So imagine what we could have gotten, as wonderful as women are, what could we have gotten if we had sacrificed an arm and a leg and a foot and a hand? Well, meanwhile, back in the scriptures. All right, here's what I want to talk to you about today. Who's that girl? And there is a passage in Proverbs chapter 31 that really is an amazement to you, probably. It is to me. I don't know how anybody lived this thing. And if anybody's read this thing in Proverbs about who can find a virtuous woman, my question is, who is that girl? How can anybody live this way? And I want to read through some of this stuff to you. Say right up front that I can't do it. I've lived for the last 10 years with a woman who's born 2 children and is bearing another one, and she's sick every time and a lot of the time. And it is hard enough being around that when you see the woman you love hurt. I cannot imagine what it's like to be that way. All this women live stuff and all this equal rights stuff, let me tell you something about being a man. I will never have a child inside of me. And I know that's hard for some women to hear because you feel the same way. It may never have worked out for you to have children. But you can, I can't. And to feel a life within your body, and all I can do is put my hand on her stomach and feel the feet and the head and the butt and the flips and all that stuff that's going on in there, that's as close as I can get. And there are some things that God blesses men with, but there are some things that God blesses women with that men will never understand. I don't think men can stay home, and if they're single dads that do it, I don't know how they do it. I don't think I have the patience. And I think one of the highest paying jobs that there should be and one of the toughest jobs on the planet is being a mom. And for you women out there that work and have kids and are single moms and have to do it all, I really don't know how you do it. And I don't know how it doesn't just pull you completely apart, because I don't think there's a woman on the planet that's breathing that gets any kind of joy of dropping off kids at a daycare and saying, well, you stay here and mama's going to go to work. That can't be easy. No matter how high the ladder you want to climb, it can't be easy to walk away if that's what you've got to do. And even if you have the option, it's still tough. But there's this woman in Proverbs 31. And by the way, a lot of people think that Solomon wrote this whole book of Proverbs, and he didn't. This last chapter is not written by Solomon. It's written by King in verse 1. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. These are things that King Lemuel wrote down, and they're things that his mother taught him, and he's recorded for us in Scripture. And he starts out talking about different things, but gets down. He talks about drinking is where he starts out, basically. And then he gets down to verse 10, and then here's the question. Who can find a virtuous wife? Another translation says, who can find a wife of noble character? How do you find this woman? I've said this to women and to men, but I'll say it to you. If you're single, most single women, and men have this too, but most single women have a list. You ever got one of these lists? Y'all ever written out one of these lists? This guy's going to be this, this, and this, and it's somewhere in a Bible or tucked away. You got either a conscious list or a written down list, subconscious in your brain, or it's written down. Here's what I tell people who aren't married. Become this person you're looking for. Because you got all this stuff, you know, a guy could pull this out and say, okay, here's a woman I'm looking for. You know what I say to that guy? then become what you're looking for, big boy. Because if some woman is this and you're not this, and she sees you, she'll say, nice to meet you, and keep going. And you'll be very impressed and say, you're the one. And she'll say, yeah, but you're not. Don't spend your life looking for someone else to fix your life. Let God change your life and bring someone along who's doing the same thing. And you'll be amazed how easy it happens. No one will ever fix your life except Jesus Christ. That's what's happened to me. And my wife is a gift. And I don't mean to be morbid when I say this, but guys, I didn't marry my wife forever. I married her for life. And that sounds negative. You know, I don't have any guarantee that I'll have tomorrow with my wife. But she is a gift today, or my children, or anything that I have, they're a gift. And some of you are widows in here, possibly. Or some of you have gone through a divorce, and he's gone. And you still are alive. And you may not like it, but you're alive. Make him your life. And then when people come and go, whether it's death or divorce or whatever, you still have a life because he's your life, not another person that can die or leave. Okay? Now that may be negative or morbid to you, but it's safe. Who can find a woman of noble character? She is worth far more than rubies. Well, it usually only takes a diamond, but some of them do want rubies, so. But a woman like this is priceless. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships. And it's interesting here, listen, she's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar, which I kind of thought it means she shops at Sam's. It's like when they come home with those groceries, it's like it's a truck full of clothes, you know. All this stuff, boxes of, man, we go to Sam's, the toilet paper. Where are you supposed to keep Sam's toilet paper? And it's, I tried to put it in the tank one day, and I realized the water would ruin that. Anyhow, listen to this one. Verse 15, she gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servants' girls. That ought to be a door on most homes. It says open 24 hours a day. Because a lot of homes have to be that way. Baby's waking up, but she's there. This woman is there and working. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She's got real estate investments. And the money she makes on it, she bought a winery, it sounds like. And I don't know how that fits in, but she plants a vineyard. Sometimes you get the impression that God intends women to be these mealy-mouthed little creatures that can't think or do anything. Guys, I'm going to tell you what, there is one entrepreneurial woman in this story. And she is out there doing. Now listen to me, she is not out there trying to prove something to some man. She is living a godly life. And you will never have peace if you spend your life trying to prove that you are worthy because you have to work a little harder. You're a woman. That you have to prove to some man or some world that you're worthy. Let me tell you something. You're worthy because Jesus says you're worthy. Your worth comes in the fact that in the same place that I get mine, that the God of the universe let his own son die, be buried, and raised from the dead so I could have life eternally, abundantly, so that I could have worth, so that I could have meaning. And you will never find that in a job. You'll never find that in a man. You'll never find that in anybody but him. 17, she gets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. And I think that kind of applies to this health club craze going on here. She works out a lot. Verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. She makes good money and pays her bills so they don't turn the lights off. Y'all didn't know all this was in here, did you? She's making a profit. And her lamp doesn't go out at night. She's vigilant. Verse 19, in her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. I'm going to give you a little tidbit here. It just hit me. Do you know what? A lot of people say that women, oh, she has the gift of hospitality. Anybody got a mom you think has the gift of hospitality? Like, she just has this, what's that woman's name that does all these magazine things? Oh, yeah, that Martha Stewart thing. Some people would say Martha Stewart has the gift of hospitality. All right, let me give you some information here. You know what the word hospitality means? It doesn't mean great decorator. The word hospitality in Greek is a combination of two Greek words that mean this, lover of strangers. If you have the gift of hospitality, you love strangers. And you can meet someone you've never seen, never known, and take them in just like that. A poor person, a needy person. You don't ask a lot of questions. You just say, you know what? We'll take care of it. And I know some people, one woman in particular said they used to live by the railroad tracks growing up. And all they knew growing up during the war, when people were trying, the bums and people who were not really bums, trying to go from place to place during the Depression, would get on trains and they'd go on the track, and everybody knew if you stopped in this house, they weren't going to rob her. They were hungry. And she'd take in these men that were traveling, trying to get home and feed them. And this guy said, that's all I ever knew growing up. My mama took in the poor. She took in the needy. Some of us don't even know our neighbors. You don't know the person that lives here, here, or above you or below you in an apartment. And what's even more tragic is we don't even care who they are. Verse 21, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. What I see is a family dressed in red in Colorado there, but I don't know if that applies. Verse 22, she makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Whoever this woman is, she's a great dresser. She looks like $1 million. Fine linen and purple. I mean, I'll tell you from a man's point of view, I don't know if I will or not. Anyhow, there's nothing wrong. You know what? I'm going to say this. There is nothing wrong with looking good, but don't be provocative. You know, I don't have many places I can say this. There's some girls that I would say this to individually. You know, if you're trying to get attention that way, you don't want the kind of attention you're getting unless you want that kind of attention. And I know girls who walk into sales meetings with these, you know, mini skirt deals, and it may get some guys' attention, guys, but that's not probably on that guy's list for a long-term relationship that you're looking for. Just be careful how you dress. It may be fashionable. I'm not saying wear bathing suits that come to your ankles and up to your neck. You know, I'm just saying be careful. You don't want to make trouble in your office with some guy messing with you, then don't tease him. But think about how you dress. Sure, it's nice to get somebody's attention. Sure, it's nice to be noticed. But get noticed for the right stuff. And this woman here isn't getting noticed for what she looks like so much on the outside as her character and who she is on the inside. Verse 22, her husband is respected at the city gate where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. And that sounds a lot to me like she's married to an old guy who sits around a lot, but I don't think that's what it means. Her husband is respected is basically what it's saying. And the people who are respected, the leaders, that's where he is. Verse 23, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants, and the King James here says, with girdles. So I think she manufactures clothing and sells lingerie. I'm not sure. I don't think you have to do that, of course, but it's in here. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength. Now listen to this. This is one of my wife's favorite verses. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Are you clothed with strength and dignity? When you meet a woman who is clothed with strength and dignity, you know it. Not that she's a cocky woman, not that she's a proud woman. She is strong and there is dignity about her. She knows who she is. She knows where she's going. She's confident. Ever meet a woman like that? Not pushy. Not going to tell everybody what to do. Strength and dignity. And notice it says her clothing is strength and dignity. It's the first thing you're going to notice about her no matter what she's got on. No matter how you're dressed, people ought to notice your strength and your dignity. And I liked it when it says in the NIV here, she can laugh at the days to come. She's not freaked out about the future. She knows who she is and she knows whose she is. And she's safe in that no matter what comes. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. I'm going to try to get this out. I stood in the back. I'm usually the one in my family that does the talking. When I get to come in here and stand back here and hear my wife talking and hear what comes out of her mouth, it's pretty awesome. Because she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. I have a friend who's going through a rough time, a girl, and a girlfriend of hers said this to her. And be careful what you say to people. And these girls are both Christians, but this one friend said to the other one, you're going through a rough time, she's lonely, she's not dating anybody, all that stuff. This girlfriend of hers, supposedly friend, said, well, you know what? You just need to find some guy this weekend and get laid and you'll feel a lot better. That, my friends, is not faithful instruction. Because she ain't gonna feel any better when that's over. Be careful what you listen to and be careful what you tell people. Because sometimes it's all they needed to push them over the edge, and they'll just go do what you said. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Very low carbohydrate diet. 28. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. You know, even the best of you, time and gravity take their toll. Anyhow, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I've driven down the road some days. It's funny, you see different kind of women. I've gone down the road and seen some lady in a 78 Dodge or whatever she's in, older woman, maybe 80, 90 years old. They're still letting her drive, why, we don't know. And this woman will be a little shriveled up lady, seat pushed up as far as she can, hands on the steering wheel, and kind of a get the you know what out of my way attitude on her face. Angry. You ever met these women who are just angry, bitter, mean, just take you off at the knees and the head at the same time? Just hateful. Just hateful. You know, how do you get that way? That's not what's described here. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You meet a godly woman, a woman who fears the Lord. You know what? I don't care what time and gravity have done to her face and body. You will see eyes. And the Bible says the eyes are the window of the soul. I've got a mother-in-law. That wasn't a dramatic pause. That's for anyone listening to the tape. I'm trying to compose myself. It's not a statement of fact. Anyhow, and I go in her house. I don't even have to catch her. She walks around the house singing. Just little doodle songs, just singing. And you know what? She was about this big, and she's about this big, and she has osteoporosis. She has a big hump on her back. But you look in her eyes, and you never see her. You just see him. And she knows him. And the Bible talks about people don't go around humming and singing for nothing. There's a song in your heart when you know him. And it doesn't just get sung for a few minutes out of a hymnal on a Sunday. You can't get it out of your heart. And you'll catch yourself just singing. Verse 31, give her the reward she has earned and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. People talk about these women, not the way people talk about some women, but in the right way. You know what? You can't live like this. You can't be this person. It's impossible. Without him, and I'm going to give you a verse. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you read this stuff and you say, God, I can't be this woman. I can't live this life. I've tried, I can't. He says, you know what? That's what I was waiting to hear. Galatians 2:20, and I'm going to flip over here and read this. Some of you know it by heart. And if you write stuff down, write this down and go read this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Guys, it's not me that lives anymore, it's him. And if you'll just say, God, you know what? I can't be this woman. I can't do all this stuff. I can't be a mom. I can't be a wife. I can't be a single mom. I can't be a single woman in this world. I can't do it. And he says, you know what? I can. So just tell me you can't every day and get out of the way and let me do what you can't do. And it is his strength that sustains you and that supports you. Now, I'm going to try to share this because I've seen this in the last week. But I got a call this morning at about 5:30. And a family showed up, a single mom showed up at the church I pastor not too far from here. She showed up with a little 7-year-old boy who, if you saw him, is a normal-looking little boy a few months ago. And is now, he had gotten large, the medication he was on. He had an inoperable brain tumor. And he was in church last Sunday. And he died this morning at 5 o'clock. And I was in their home this morning at 8, and I walked in the living room, and there he sat in a chair in the living room with a blanket over him, his favorite blanket, waiting for the funeral home to come pick him up. And the family walking around, and the grandmother there with her hand on him. And I saw strength this morning in a woman, and she didn't get it from anywhere but him. And her little boy's gone, and I saw the mom, the grandmother, the uncle, about 6 of the family, reach in that chair and pick that little boy up, big boy. And they physically carried him through the kitchen, through the garage, out to a van from the funeral home, put him on a cot. They strapped him in. She laid a Beanie Baby on his stomach, and he was gone. And let me tell you something. You won't make it without Jesus. Because you're either leaving soon, or you're going to have to live through a lot of stuff. And you better get the lines open, and you better talk to him, and you better know him, because there's a day coming, if it hadn't come already, when you will not make it unless you know God personally. I'm not talking about believing in God. The Bible says that demons in hell believe in God and tremble at his name. So if you believe in God, you're right up there with the demons. I'm talking about trusting him. I'm talking about knowing him. I'm talking about walking with him. And you say, well, I just got invited to lunch. You know, I didn't bring this much Kleenex. I don't know what happened. You say, I don't believe all this stuff. Let me tell you, you may not have to agree with me. If your deal's working, you just keep it up. If your God is working, you just keep worshiping him and doing your deal. But if he's not, I'm telling you, I got a God who loved me so much, he proved it by laying his kid's life down. And he could have stopped it, and Jesus could have stopped it. But he said, I'm going to show them that I love them. I'm going to turn my back on my own son. I'm going to let him die. But I'm going to raise him from the dead so they don't have to die spiritually, so they don't have to be separated from me. And if they don't get it because of that, they're just not going to get it. Because it doesn't get any bigger than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus died for you. And you say, well, my life sucks. You know what? It may keep being tough till the day you die, but it doesn't have to be terrible. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can know love. You can be alone, but never lonely. He'll be a husband to you, the scripture says. But you're going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to spend time with him. You're going to have to get to know him. You're going to have to communicate. Have to let him live in you and through you and be your life and be your strength. And he'll make all the difference.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you, too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much just for waking me up this morning. God, even more than being alive physically, as awesome as that is, and I can't sustain my life, Father, I thank you that I have spiritual life and that the God of the universe lives in me and through me and has a plan and a purpose. And Father, I pray that the women in this room would know the strength of the woman I spent this morning with that only comes from you in times like these. Father, make these women strong women, dignified women, women that live despite time and gravity, and everyone around them knows that they know you, not that they're pushy, not that they're proud, not that they're cocky, but that they've humbled themselves before you and have realized that in due time you lift them up. Father, bless these women, protect them. The single women, Lord, give them patience and purity. The single moms, give them patience and purity and strength to be mom and dad. The divorced women, Lord, who have so much anger and bitterness possibly, heal their hearts. The widows, Lord, who don't want another man. They just want the one they lost and don't know what to do. And the mature, godly women who have lived through it all, let them be mentors and encouragers to those who come behind them.
And for all of it, we thank you and we love you, God. And we thank you so much for loving us, not just in word, but in deed, and proving it by giving your own son. You're an awesome God, and we ask you to use us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.